Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The great jazz impresario George Wein is best known for founding the famous Newport Jazz Festival, but he's also created one of the most prestigious awards in the American visual arts. It's the Wein Prize, worth $50,000. It's awarded each year, but the 2012 announcement was delayed by Hurricane Sandy, so it wasn't until this week that we learned who this year's recipient would be. It's Jenny C. Jones, an artist based in Brooklyn. She is the winner of the 2012 Wein Prize, and she's an especially appropriate choice because music, and especially jazz, plays such a central role in her work. Jenny, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, it's great to win an award, but does it mean anything special to you to have an award with this kind of musical jazz association to it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the most heartwarming, gracious acknowledgement, and it's particularly special because of where it's coming from.
So have you always been a jazz fan?
I grew up with parents that had excellent taste in music, and it was always in the house. I quit every instrument I tried to play, but I have great ears. And, so it's always been present.
Mm-hmm. Ever been to the Newport Jazz Festival?
No, I haven't, embarrassingly enough.
So when you're working in the studio there in Brooklyn, do you work to music?
I do, and it's funny because the impetus for how I started working with sound and incorporating it into my visual practice actually came from feeling a little bit stumped and realizing that I was actually a conceptual artist, and I had to sort of come out as a conceptual artist, and that most of my studio practice was grounded in curating what music I was going to listen to while I was working. And so acknowledging that I was spending all of this energy sorting through my music and figuring out what kind of mood I wanted to be in or became the focus of the work. And then that opens up a wonderful world of musicology and biographies of musicians that work right in tandem with art history. So it just folds right together, art history and music history.
Well, and all the isms, you know, romanticism, classicism, minimalism. I mean, all those terms started in the visual arts before they got moved over to music. So that's interesting, though. So is coming up with a playlist the first order of business for you?
If I'm not listening to NPR.
So what's been playing in the studio lately?
I've been listening to more avant-garde jazz. I'm focusing on new projects, so I've been listening to Roland Kirk, and I've also been trying to expand my knowledge in terms of listening to black composers that exist in this sort of area between jazz and classical.
You mean like Alvin Singleton?
Exactly, and Ollie Wilson, mm-hmm. who I had the pleasure of meeting a couple years ago. And it's a self-taught journey, but mm-hmm. it's a fun one, and I'm evolving.
So rocking the studio there in Brooklyn, Rahsaan Roland Kirk.
Yes.
Let's hear a little bit of his great piece, The Inflated Tear. Just a little bit from Rahsaan Roland Kirk and The Inflated Tear, which the artist Jenny C. Jones is You're currently working to this and other similar things?
What's interesting about that particular track, and it's funny that you chose the most romantic, emotional section of that song, is because it is about this sort of hybrid moment of wild expression and the struggle between classical and abstraction, in a sense, because he starts off, you know, he's known for playing multiple instruments at the
right.
same time and
three saxophones,
harmonizing with himself, which, at, you know, at one point was kind of sideshow gimmicky and he wasn't taken quite as seriously. But he, this album was when people sort of said, okay, he's got chops beyond this.
He's got writing
gimmick.
Chops,
yeah, exactly.
In addition to playing.
But he still does that. So the beginning of the song is quite wild, and then there's talking and screaming towards the end, and it's this wonderful mashup.
So what kind of work would you do to a piece like this?
Oh. Well, I have to say I have a big note on my studio wall that says, don't overthink, do, because I tend to sit and space out and listen and make decisions in a very methodical way. So you think you have to, when you work in a minimalist vein, be very conscious of, if you're going to make one line on a page, it has to be absolutely full and where it should be.
We are speaking with Jenny C. Jones, the visual artist and winner of the Wien Prize from the Studio Museum in Harlem. You're getting the award in the ceremony on February 4th, right?
Yes.
And now... is it so much of your work is musically impacted? You know, some of it looks kind of musical. I mean, is that something you're trying to do to make the music visible in the art?
Well, that, you know, part of that evolution I was speaking of, you're starting off listening to modern music as someone who's quite fond of modernism revisionist history, refiguring what it is about modernism that's absent, and always wondering, for example, what, you know, during ABEX, what were they listening to in the studios? Of course, we know that there's a huge connection between the wildness of bop that it got called in the end and how people were thinking visually.
The abstract expressionist
absolutely.
Movement.
Now,
some of your works, which our listeners can see on our website, soundcheck.org, some of them actually incorporate recognizable musical materials.
Yeah.
You have a series of pieces built out of the black keys of a piano. What was the attraction of that particular medium?
Well, I'm fascinated with sort of the physical residue, for lack of a better word, the material aspects of how we listen and the instruments that carry this sort of ephemeral nature of sound. So making silkscreen prints that are based on arranging bass strings. Some that's more recently getting away from the quite so literal aspect of working with musical instruments. Before that, of course, I had played around with making some tape drawings, automatic drawings out of tape. I used Kenny G intentionally to sort of free him and take him out of his casing and give him back the wildness that I feel he sort of took away from what jazz was or is. So yeah, now I'm getting more into the nerdiest of nerdy level of physics and space and architecture, how sound functions in a physical space. So working with acoustic materials and how that changes the sound pieces in a gallery setting.
Well, let's talk about some of the sound pieces, because that seems now to be part and parcel of who you are and how you work as an artist.
Yeah.
You mentioned before you pretty much dropped every instrument you ever studied.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't call yourself a musician.
I wouldn't.
Are you a producer? Because it seems like some of the sound art that you've done is very close to, you know, kind of remix
Absolutely.
Culture and DJ culture.
Yeah. It's an interesting practice in itself. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I worked with collage a lot visually. So there's a direct connection to when I first started editing sound with looking at a visual interface and removing things and knowing what a burst will look like visually in a soundtrack. Once you start editing, you can kind of, it gets very intuitive, I think, for visual thinkers in particular.
So tell me about this piece, Slow Birds. What is it, and is there a visual component to it, or is this simply a sound art piece?
It's simply a sound art piece. It was played at the Contemporary Art Center in Atlanta, and it is four Charlie Parker notes. I think they're taken from the introduction of Coco, very famous introduction. And it's a sort of a counterpoint to the breakneck tempos of that era by stretching them out. And it was amazing, actually, the purity of his note, even when it was the tempo was slowed down to be over a minute long for just one or two notes. The purity of Charlie Parker's tone is just
so amazing. Four Charlie Parker notes.
Yes.
Just slowed down, yeah. And then the drums come
from? The drums come from a song called Little Max on Money Jungle, which is
by the great Max Roach.
Yes, with Mingus and Duke Ellington, a really interesting trio of folks to have performed together.
Yeah.
It's a fantastically composed record. It's really an interesting moment. But there's a song called Little Max, and so he gets all these dispersed solos, drum solos, scattered throughout the song. So I've removed everything and kept Max Roach's solos, and they string together as this underpinning for Bird.
So this is Slow Birds. It's a mashup by the artist Jenny C. Jones. This is called Slow Birds, an audio mashup by the visual artist Jenny C. Jones. So four notes of saxophone playing by the great Charlie Parker, and then strung together these little mini solos from the late drummer Max Roach. And so installation has become, Jenny, a big part of a lot of artists' work.
Yeah.
And installation can mean, I guess, almost any kind of medium at this point.
Yeah. I agree with that, for sure.
So what kind of, I mean, you mentioned before, you know, listening to all this sort of modern jazz and Alvin Singleton and Ollie Wilson and folks like that. Where is the music leading you now in the works that you're currently doing in the studio?
Yeah, the latter, absolutely. I'm just getting to those guys. I mean, it's funny, I used to talk about this absence of black avant-garde in the visual conversation and art history. And, you know, that's a part of the pleasure of learning about these things outside of a school context,
<Right. laughs>
just for fun, and to start to listen to guys like this and, you know, and find out, guess where they were? They were at Oberlin. They were at Berlin. Ollie Wilson was at Berkeley, rather, for many years as the chair of the music department, and as is George Lewis at Columbia, who was a phenomenal character, and I actually had him. I was at the Art Institute of Chicago the same time as him, and I used to think, "Who's that little guy with the afro?" And
little.
I was a painter. I was a painter, and I never, I never went. I never studied with him, and now it's like, I wasn't thinking about these things yet, quite yet.
Well, and George Lewis, like you, someone who, you know, sort of goes across media, working with acoustic.
He's
a trombonist himself, but a lot of electronic music.
Yeah.
Now, you've done a fair amount. I mean, you seem to be pretty comfortable with electronics, with processing gear, stuff like that. I mean, this piece called From the Low, this is very much a studio creation, isn't it?
In a sense. I mean, the source material was fun because it was the first piece I made that I was really thinking about, okay, instead of like a historic framework, I had more of a psychological, emotional framework of looking at low tones. And in a sense, it came from, you know, the rumbling of your apartment when the bass goes by in an SUV. And I wanted to sort of have that energy, but put it in this other context. And I'm not good at the gearhead part. I'm not, I can't walk into a space and plug stuff in so much. So that's why it was really a great gift to have this piece at the kitchen. It's the only, I would say it's the only white box that's gallery space that's actually a black box.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a white box inside of a black box. And it was just a phenomenal experience to install a visual art show and then have someone come upstairs with a mixing board and say, which one of these do you want? And it's like, oh.
So what were people seeing while they were listening to this?
That was the first exhibition where I had these acoustic panels. They're fiberglass acoustic panels in this room that we're in right mm-hmm. now, repurposed and reconfigured. So they read as minimalist paintings. They touch upon that great history of the canon of Rauschenberg or
right.
the white paintings and things.
And
like this.
And if you look at them, look at a photo, a two-dimensional
yes.
photo, it could, in the first instant at least, pass for a painting.
Yes.
Until
yeah.
you realize
on canvas and there is paint.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jenny C. Jones, the winner of this year's Ween Prize from the Studio Museum in Harlem. She'll be picking up her award in a ceremony on February 4th, but she's with us here. And this is the audio component of that installation that happened at the Kitchen here in New York. It's called From the Low. From the visual artist Jenny C. Jones, a little bit of From the Low, would you call that an installation? It was a
yeah.
series of these kind of audio panels on mm-hmm. the wall
yeah.
and this music.
Absorbers and diffusers, yeah.
We're speaking with Jenny C. Jones, the winner of this year's Ween Prize from the Studio Museum in Harlem. Now, you have a big show coming up later this year in Washington, D.C., in May, mm-hmm. and the pianist Jason Moran is going to be a part of that. How important is it for you, in a big event like this, to have music be a part of it?
It's a huge part of it. Jason and I are only having a conversation. We're doing a public program. We're having a dialogue. We're not. There's no performance.
Okay.
But we're going to get, and it'll be fantastic to get into some real juicy, to really talk to someone who understands a lot of the references that, quite frankly, a lot of times in the visual art world, I may be excited or talking about some musician or some composer that I'm just learning about, and I'm on my own. So it's great to have that dialogue. And it's my first solo museum show, so I'm incredibly anxious and going to go back to the studio this afternoon and keep plugging away.
Well, now, the Studio Museum in Harlem, in announcing that you were the winner of the Ween Prize, said that it was not only to celebrate the rigor and strength of her practice, but also because of the thinking about what this amazingly generous prize could do for her at this point in her career. What can that prize do for you at this point in your career?
Well, I made the exhibition for the Kitchen on my apartment floor.
I see where
these many
going.
Years in yep. New York, the last studio I had was a residency at Smack Mellon in Dumbo, and that was a gift to have a studio space for that year. And it does put parameters on. Although I am a huge champion of paper drawing and printmaking, you have to rise to the occasion, and that requires physical space.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I will be able to rise to the occasion of having my solo show at the Hirshhorn, which is crazy to even say out loud.
Say it loud. Solo show at the Hirshhorn in Washington, D.C. in May. Jenny C. Jones has been my guest on Soundcheck, the winner of the Ween Prize from the Studio Museum in Harlem. Have fun at the ceremony.
Thanks for joining us. What a treat. Thank you so much.
This is Soundcheck. This music is Jenny's mashup of some orchestral music by Alvin Singleton with horns from a Charles Mingus tune. She tells us that this is a study for that big Hirshhorn Gallery project she's doing in May. You can see some of Jenny C. Jones' award-winning art on our website, soundcheck.org.